Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where does that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two. AJ and Dusty, thanks for being part of our day, letting us be part of yours. Tyson Alger, The Athletic, covers the Oregon Ducks. Ever heard of him? He'll join us at 1:30 today. The latest on Deshaun Watson, 22 accusers. Their complaints against him are being kind of funneled down to one for pre-trial, and then they're going to be spread back out and apart. We haven't heard much from Deshaun Watson, but apparently now he's his lawyer, old Rusty Harden, is deciding he's going to release a statement on it. Not good.
Yep. Yeah, so this is the name of the document is Deshaun Watson's original answer. Okay?
Original answer?
It's what it's called.
Is there going to be a non-original answer that comes out? Is there going to be, is it like a Mel Kiper mock draft where you have like a original answer 4.0? What are we doing here?
Maybe we should listen to the original and then we'll have questions afterwards.
Okay. I mean, I already got questions.
Yeah. So here's the long and short of it is that Harden and Watson are saying that all 22 of these are lying. All 22 of these women are lying. That it's a money grab by all 22 of them. He says only two of these 22 lawsuits allege forced sexual activity, which Mr. Watson vehemently denies. And then it even breaks it down further where it's like, okay, eight of the plaintiffs, quote, bragged about, praised, and were excited about massaging Watson. Two, seven of the plaintiffs. So it like breaks it down into like eight, seven, three, five of like different reasons those particular group of women are lying.
Hold on. Here's my thing, though. Is that they bragged about potentially massaging Watson. Well, yeah, because that could be career altering if you are a masseuse and you have a multi-million dollar NFL quarterback as a potential client.
Right. And one of the things that I think is really...
Not a creeper, though.
No. And that's, I think, one of the things that's really... There's a few things here that I'm going to try and articulate my thoughts on well. But the first thing is 22 women. From multiple states.
Yeah.
You're saying all of them got together and just out of the blue, we're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go after Deshaun Watson, who so far his character has been pretty much spotless. So it's not like we're going to go after somebody who has a record of being a creep who would be easier to, you know, what? Like all of these women. Now, is it weird that Deshaun Watson has that many masseuses? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but I think that's the first thing is to say that all 22 of these women got together and just decided to go after Deshaun Watson for money is, I don't even know what word, it's like offensive. It's also it's just like believe women.
Yeah.
Believe women. You cannot tell me that these 22 women, I have no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Well, and isn't this the whole case, right, where, like, say a guy's cheating on a girl and the mistress starts to speak with the wife or the guy that the woman's dating and saying, like, hey, all this is happening. And, you know, the guy can say, oh, no, she's lying. She doesn't know who I am. And then maybe another woman comes out and it's like, well, he definitely did it. And this situation happens a lot in life with many men. Yeah, it's 22 of them.
Right.
So think about 22 women across different states coordinating in an organized fashion to have the same story with the same elements. And then also saying that we are going to talk about the same type of emotional abuse that is all correlated in all these hearings, because that's another big part of this, that these women are talking about the emotional abuse that it caused them. So all of them just made it up, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's one hell of a conspiracy theory to be coordinated against him.
Like, it is.
I mean, that really, it is. That is where you sit there and you go, okay. Mm-hmm. And like the lawyer for the women that's representing the women, he said the only defense that he had was to call these brave women liars.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, right now there's 22. And so I guess, yeah, that's his only defense that he has. But it's still, I mean, the sheer number of it, like you're talking about, is where you go, no way. I ask this question of how in the world is the NFL not acting on any of it right now?
Totally.
Either. Like,
totally.
I know this thing. And like that should be like him playing in the NFL is something that isn't even in a conversation right now. But I'm like, how is none of this, what you're laying out, what the facts are that we know right now, is how is the NFL not doing anything?
Right. And I think that this is another opportunity for the NFL to be proactive. And instead you are believing only because he is Deshaun Watson, only because he is one of the best quarterbacks in the world. You are waiting. If anybody else had 22 lawsuits filed against them for varying degrees of harassment, sexual assault, all of these things, they'd be out of there. But it's because it's Deshaun Watson. It's because he is very good at the game of football. That is the reason that he is being given the benefit of the doubt, not actually the premise of what is happening.
Now, do you think that if the NFL were to act, that there would be more of I don't even think there's support for him right now, but there would be more of a highlight to the league is actually doing something, and you know they're not just standing. And right now they're not supporting Deshaun Watson by any stretch.
But he's not on the commissioner's exempt list, is he?
No, I think they're just gathering. They're in the fact gathering facts right now.
Okay,
it's also the off season, so it's a very easy time for them to just be like, meh.
Right.
Well, hold on. Right. He doesn't have a game for months, wherever he ends up playing, whether it's the Texans or somewhere else.
But if the NFL were to just come out right now and be like, until we find out more, we are going to put you on the commissioner's exempt list, and you're not going to be going to any of the facilities right now until we find out more, because we have 22. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that would be something where you're actually doing something about it,
right.
Despite the fact that, look, again, it should be noted that these are civil lawsuits that are against him as well, but the NFL doesn't need a criminal case in order to suspend a guy or anything. I mean, and right now, just by saying that they're all lying, I mean, my goodness.
Right. And I think the other thing that really, just as a female who's dealt with varying degrees of sort of harassment or misogyny from working in a male-dominated space, what drives me crazy and what I really want people to understand, I guess, the most, is that it's not always an immediate reaction, right? Like, these women, think about who these women are. These are women who, like you said, they've been given a career opportunity to work on somebody of Deshaun Watson's caliber. At that level of athlete, at that level of professional sports, the circle is small, and you can have your entire life made if this works out, right? And then all of a sudden you're in that room and he starts asking you for something and you're like, ugh, don't feel great about that. But it's Deshaun Watson. Ooh, I'm not super comfortable with that, but is this normal? Like, the power dynamic here between Deshaun Watson and a masseuse is so ridiculously imbalanced that for there to be a question of, oh, why are they coming out now and saying it? And for that to invalidate some of the emotions and the potential trauma that these women have gone through just shows how little is known about, or how little, I guess, common understanding we as a society have about trauma and how it works, because it is not abnormal to be in that situation and to be uncomfortable, but to do it because of the power dynamic. And then a week later, you're sitting there, 2 days, whatever, however long later, you're sitting there going, you know, this was what I was feeling. This was what was wrong with this situation. And to have to just wipe right past that and say, because of X, Y, and Z factors, all 22 women are lying. It's just, it's awful.
And that's like part of the messages that have been released publicly been along the lines of, you know, if it's they, like some of the women have been told, like, hey, just ignore it and never take him again. Like that was actually some of the advice given from, you know, colleagues and, and fellow masseuses was, oh yeah, just stay away from him next time.
Right.
You know, there's some people that, you know, just won't ever get it. And like that, that was advice that they were given, was that no, everything's okay. But then, you know, here we are now where they're going, I wasn't alone. It wasn't an isolated case. This is not it.
So this person on the text line is saying, let's see, I'm not on Watson's side, but it is innocent until proven guilty. And there is an aspect to it, but I guess what I would say to that.
There is.
There is an aspect of it. I guess what I would say to that is that, you know, even if that is in fact the case, which of course it is, there should be a social responsibility from the NFL's owner base to basically say, we got to blackball this guy out for now. We have to say, like,
it's not it's not even blackballing.
Well, it is in a way, and I guess, yeah, and I guess maybe that's not the best term, but basically just excommunicate him from the league until you have all the information. And it doesn't necessarily have to be saying that you have made a final proclamation that Deshaun Watson's guilty and everything, but you say, look, you're obviously in this situation for a reason. 22 women are accusing of sexual assault. We can't have you here right now. If for some miraculous reason there is a smoking gun piece of proof that is going to show that all these women are collaborating to lie against you, we'll welcome you back.
Right.
But otherwise, can't have it.
And to that, I would say, what about over the weekend when with Aaron Donald?
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Over the weekend with Aaron Donald, he was guilty until the video came out in the court of public opinion. Because there was word that he had gotten in a fight. He had hit somebody over the head. And all we saw was somebody's black eye. Right? We saw a victim's black eye. And we heard Aaron Donald was involved, who wreaks havoc on quarterbacks for a living.
He trains by having a guy with knives stab them at him,
like, and so,
and he fights them off. Like, he's a badass.
So it's like so easy for us to jump to in the court of public opinion. Oh, well, Aaron Donald, that could have happened. And then all of a sudden the video comes out and you're like, oh, actually, turns out Aaron Donald was a peacekeeper.
Didn't happen at all.
Didn't happen at all. Yeah. But the court of public opinion swayed towards him being guilty over the weekend. And the court of public opinion seems real unsure about Deshaun Watson. And I'm confused as to why it's easier for us to believe that Aaron Donald was guilty immediately, whereas now we have 22 women who have put their names on this, who have put their careers behind this, who have put their faces on television, who have cried on camera. Why is it easier for us to believe that Aaron Donald is guilty and we have 22 women and we don't, it's harder for us to believe that?
Monday Musings, things in sports from the weekend. Your feedback at 503-250-1080. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, time to get to the Monday musings from the weekend of sport. We've got Tyson Alger of The Athletic from Oregon. He will be joining us 1:30 to talk Oregon scrimmage over the weekend. All five quarterbacks going to be playing on the field at the same time because they were so great.
I'm so excited to see how that works out. Can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll have five linemen, five quarterbacks, and one receiver. You never know what's going to happen. It's going to be great. Must be the innovative offense I've heard so much about.
So you throw Ty Thompson at tight end, I guess?
Everything. Classic. No. He's quarterback. I don't think you're following me. All five quarterbacks were awesome.
It's going to be a lot of Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
Wildcat, so all five at the same time.
Will, don't ask questions.
So is it going to be like a directional snap from the center, like where you don't know who the hell is going to get the ball?
Yeah, instead of the eye, you're going to line up in like a...
Good question.
Like the Jim Harbaugh, like everybody's in one line, single file
chaos
thing.
Creating. No, I loved that play.
It's the parallelogram offense where you have all five quarterbacks behind five linemen and they're just 5 yards apart.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you just all shift as one.
That's right.
So actually all five linemen, turns out, they can snap also.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. If I was on defense, that would like... Oh, my God.
Like the shift on the offensive line is they just like shuffle down to see who's snapping?
Dude, I would just look at the sidelines and put my hands up at my coach like, what do you want me to do?
See, we're on to something. No, but Tyson Alger will actually talk to us about what the quarterbacks did because rave reviews...
Yeah,
coming out of Eugene, not just from Ty Thompson, but Robbie Ashford, Jade Butterfield, and Anthony Brown, the presumptive starter
The
Oregon Ducks. So he'll join us in a few minutes from now. But from the weekend, things that we may have missed over the weekend.
Monday musings.
Yeah.
What
is your first Monday musing?
Well, I touched on it. Well, we'll talk about this one first. Alex Smith retiring. I know.
Comeback player of the year, deuces now.
Yep. And this is so good, though. I mean, I think that was the story that, you know, the chapter has closed, the book has closed. And I think after going through not only what he went through, but his family, his wife, seeing all of that, and his kids, I believe he has kids, right?
A herd of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just think well wishes in retirement, Alex Smith. Thank you so much for giving us all you did as football fans. Wish you nothing but the best. Hope you're drinking pina coladas on a beach for the rest of your life.
Oh, and going out on your own terms, too. Pretty cool.
Like
he wanted to make a comeback and just be like, I can do it. He did it.
Yep.
So the hell with everybody else.
There was so much more impact on Alex Smith's whole experience once I watched the 60 Minutes piece about him, because they did a recent one about 2 months ago where they showed the entire rehab process that he went through.
Well, the E60?
Yeah, there was E60, the E60 one. Yeah, and they talked to, because, you
that
know,
was incredible.
He went to a military hospital, didn't he? He went to a vet hospital because the injuries that he had were like similar to what dudes in war got with like shrapnel. That, like, they would get their limbs and their bones exploded in their body. And, like, that's what happened to Alex Smith. So it was, like, this insane healing process he went through where he started to develop relationships with veterans. And, like, it was really cool.
Pretty cool. Alden Smith, the newest Seattle Seahawk, he's in trouble again. This should be a surprise to nobody. But I am looking at a suburb of, what is it? I don't even know what it is, but it's
New Orleans,
St. Bernard. Yeah. Sorry. Just outside of New Orleans. They are wanting Alden Jacaris Smith on second degree battery charges. Apparently on Saturday night or Saturday, he got into a scuffle out in front of the French Press Coffee House and in front of the Home Depot. And he's now wanted for second degree assault.
Seahawks released a statement.
What did they say?
We are aware of the reports regarding Alden Smith. He notified us, and we are gathering more information. We have no further comment at this time.
I'm shocked.
Yep.
All right, moving on.
Okay, so the Timbers, Timbers played yesterday. Unfortunately, they lost 1-0 to the Whitecaps.
Oh, dang.
I know. It's unfortunate. Thorns play on Wednesday, though.
All right. Hey, go Timbers.
And
wait,
Thorns,
that was the start of the MLS season, so they're 0-1 in MLS play? It's okay. All we're worried about is the CONCACAF.
Big soccer guy over here.
Yep.
Also,
I said,
the Thorns,
you notice I said we?
Yep. Yep. Thorns had a collab with Pelican Brewery.
Ooh.
Slide Tackle, new hazy IPA. Pretty good.
I love hazy IPAs.
I know. This one's called the Slide Tackle.
And I love
it's
Pelican
a soccer
beer.
Term. Do you know what the Slide Tackle is?
What?
Okay. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see over the weekend the Villanova quarterback? You didn't see
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah. The throw behind his back thing as he was getting sacked. That was pretty cool.
That was frigging amazing. Are you serious?
That's pretty cool.
Going, he was about maybe 4 yards out from the goal line.
Pretty cool.
He starts getting tackled, and the defender kind of grabs him on the back and starts doing kind of like a whiplash swing yeah. thing. And the quarterback is getting flung backwards, and just behind his back, he flicks the ball behind him, and it just lands like perfectly in the tight end's hands.
Just like they drew it up.
Oh, yeah. It was insane.
Also related, the Portland State Vikings lost 48-7.
Yes.
Oh, and on Friday, Portland State women's basketball, new coach Chelsea Gregg went to college with her.
Oh, that's cool.
She's awesome.
That's awesome.
And that's our Monday musings. Wait, I've got one more Monday musing that we've got to discuss after we're joined by Tyson Alger, because we have something here that happened with Zion Williamson that might be the best thing I've heard all day, because one, it just shows you how dysfunctional the New Orleans Pelicans are, but are the Knicks the most interesting sports team in New York right now? That's a legit question. Yeah. And I'm including the Nets in this.
Mm.
Are the Knicks the most interesting sports franchise in New York right now? We'll discuss that coming up at 1:45. But next, the Ducks scrimmage, impressions of the quarterbacks, and how about that wide receiving core with Tyson Alger of The Athletic. First is Will with SportsCenter. All right, 1:35, AJ and Dusty. Happy to be joined now by a man who covers the University of Oregon for The Athletic, Tyson Alger, who spent his Saturday grinding in Autzen Stadium instead of enjoying the sun on his front porch. Tyson, thank you for your service to the sports fans. And how was it down there at Autzen Stadium with actual fans in the stands, man?
Yeah, you know, it was a real brutal Saturday of work, having to watch a little bit of football. And I think it was like about mid-70s come around scrimmage time. It was really nice. It just kind of felt a little bit like normal. Like, I know we're kind of making progress towards that, but to be able to be inside Autzen and actually have real fan noise being what you hear, it was great. It was a nice little Saturday.
It seemed like it. I got to watch a few photos and videos from the scrimmage way after it happened, but give us your thoughts, because as Dusty has said, there's like five quarterbacks, and all five of them are probably going to start. So how's that going to work out?
They're all awesome, huh?
Yeah, you know, this relates to the quarterbacks, but like overall, just my main impression with this team is just like the amount of size like they have across like all positions. I mean, the offensive linemen are huge. The defensive backs, like especially like Jamal Hill at nickel, like that guy's a monster. The receivers have size all over the place. But then like you look at the quarterbacks, and I remember like 3 or 4 years ago when like Justin Herbert and like his 6'6 build like just kind of really stood out amongst everybody. But now like all four of those like guys competing are like they're good sized, like they're athletes. Everyone has a pretty high floor, it seems. But like right now, like Anthony Brown's pretty far ahead of everybody, just because he has, I don't know what the number is, but like 40 career starts under his belt, and nobody else has taken a college snap. So it's an interesting dynamic in there, because I don't think anybody's really pushing Brown quite at this moment, but there's so much talent behind him. You know, whether you start with the two guys who have been here for a year and Jay Butterfield and Robbie Ashford, or you, if you want to look at Ty Thompson, who was the much hyped recruit, and he looks good. Like, he just really looks good. And, you know, he's not really in this quarterback race quite yet, but that's just because he's only been practicing with the team for a month. Like, I fully expect Brown to be the starter come fall, but I wouldn't be shocked if Thompson just starts taking leaps and bounds here the rest of spring and kind of the rest of the offseason.
You know, it's almost as if this whole recruiting thing is actually working when you look at the level of talent that they're bringing in there. But one of the things that it seems to be the reoccurring theme as you watch, you know, the post practice media availabilities, and as we've watched kind of the program from Taggart transition into Cristobal, Mario Cristobal has always said culture. You mm-hmm. heard guys like Troy Dye, you know, saying the culture is great. You know, the culture is amazing. What is it like? You know, you're replacing a lot of leadership from you know, a year ago, and then you had this weird kind of abbreviated short season where it was kind of clunky and you didn't really get to see those relationship and those bonds. But as you bring in this influx of talent, does it still seem like that locker room is as close as ever?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, Oregon's running backs coach Jim Mastro, after the scrimmage, he said he's just having so much fun because he feels this is one of the best locker rooms he's been a part of in his like 34 years of coaching. And I think a lot of that, you know, there was a lot of adversity last year. I mean, it was just a crazy situation for everybody. And I think, you know, despite some of like the actual physical distance that people had to keep with each other, I was talking to left tackle George Moore a couple of days ago, and he was saying there was just frankly some guys on the defensive side of the team he didn't even know because they weren't allowed to lift together and like all those sorts of things. But you kind of have that whole, the vast majority of that group coming back into this season, and you have so much talent, and you have a lot of that of those talented recruits that have been coming in over 3-4 years competing against each other. It's just like a high level of practice that they're having this spring with a whole bunch of guys that really want to come out there and kind of make up for what happened last year. You know, actually talking about Moore again, this is his seventh year in college. He got beat up. Yeah. He got beat out by Penny Sewell in 2018. And, you know, a lot of guys would transfer in that situation, but he said he just flat out wasn't good enough. He had to get better. And here he is, you know, coming into the 21 season, and he got to practice in front of fans on Saturday, and it was just, it meant a lot to him just because of, you know, what earning a position on this team can do, like what it takes to earn a position on this team, because it's highly competitive right now.
And you talk about sort of what happened last year in that there was no spring ball at all. We didn't know if we were going to have a college season, period. But do you feel like there's more energy, more passion? Because I feel like sometimes spring ball, there's a little bit of like, we'll go through the motions, a little bit of repetition, but like, it's spring. Do you feel like there's more of a heightened competition level or intensity this year because they didn't have it last year and they saw the effects of that in the season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the biggest fallout from not having spring ball last year was, one, I don't think Oregon's offense was able to kind of fully do everything that it wanted to do going into the season, just because Joe Moorhead only got 4 spring practices, and then everything was just accelerated after that. But I think the biggest thing was, like, this is a team that likes to play physical, that I think physicality took the biggest toll out of this last year, just because of what they were able to do in practice in terms of hitting each other, in terms of like having to just like wash down equipment after everybody touches it. Like, I think this is a team that thought, that expected a lot of itself last season, didn't quite meet its goals, even though they did win the Pac-12 title. And I think this spring, you're just kind of seeing a lot of guys who are really wanting to get at it because they kind of want to make up for that lost season that, you know, ultimately I think a lot of people, again, even though they won the Pac-12 title, were disappointed with compared to the level of talent that they have.
Tyson Alger is our guest. The Athletic covers the University of Oregon. Ducks having a scrimmage last week, getting ready for May 1st spring game. All right. Which position group is, I mean, this could be like an iron sharpens iron throughout the course of spring and next fall, but which position group is more loaded with talent, receiver or the secondary?
Oh man, that's tough. I like the first unit of the secondary a ton, but I just love the depth that the receivers have. I mean, they just brought in like one of the best receiving classes in the country with Troy Franklin and Dante Thornton, and then they're still getting back Johnny Johnson and Jalen Redd, who you know, have been playing here forever. And then in the mixture of that, you have guys like Devin Williams, Micah Pittman, Chris Hudson, Josh Delgado, like all these guys that have been brought in over the last 2 or 3 years. And it's, I'm not quite sure where everyone's going to go, but like from watching the practice and scrimmage on Saturday, I think Oregon's just going to be an absolute force in the red zone, because Thornton is a body type, unlike the Ducks have Thornton and Williams are a body type that Oregon just doesn't usually get, just like really tall bodied receivers. And then you can mix that in with some of the play action stuff that Moorhead did with some of the smaller shifty guys like Jalen Redd or Pittman. And they're just going to have so many options in there. And then you throw in some of just the huge tight ends that they got as well. I think we're going to see a dramatic improvement in Oregon's offense in 21 compared to last season.
Now that last little piece that you threw in there is something that I wanted to follow up with you on, the tight end position. Oregon's history of tight ends has been, I mean, they pumped out some great tight ends historically. We saw that kind of go away though, because you didn't really use a tight end much in the spread. Joe Moorhead though, it sounds like when you hear him talk, are we going to see like a reemergence of a true tight end at Oregon again?
Yeah, they really want to use the tight ends in the passing game. I mean, they just like the versatility that they give the offense, and you know, Oregon's really stacking that room. I mean, the one caveat is they don't have a whole lot of proven talent quite yet at that position. Spencer Webb had an okay season in 19, but he's kind of been banged up since. But again, I hate to just keep harping on size, but just like watching that group, I mean, Webb's up to like 245 pounds. He's 6'6", and the two freshmen, Maliki Matavao and Terrence Ferguson, don't look a whole lot smaller behind them. And so they're really wanting to bring in these athletic types in there that can, it's anytime you usually talk to assistant coach and you bring up tight ends, like they immediately like go to the blocking. And I think that's just because a lot of people focus on their abilities in the pass game. But Joe Moorhead loves to talk about the abilities of his guys in the passing game. So, I think those guys are going to be utilized a lot this year in the offense, as long as they stay healthy. I mean, you still have Cam McCormick, who's on the roster. He wasn't dressed on Saturday, and you would love to see him get on the field. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point, you're really kind of looking at Spencer Webb and some of the younger guys that are going to be leading this charge.
All right, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you. And let's do it again sometime soon. Tyson Alger from The Athletic. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Look, this team, and we didn't really talk much about the defensive side of the ball, because in these scrimmages, we talked about corner, where top end, they're getting bigger and more athletic. But he keeps talking about size. And you know this from going down to bowl games in the past. In bowl games, there's always kind of heightened, right? Yes. And even when that Wisconsin-Oregon Rose Bowl, which you and I were both at, mm-hmm. even though you're too cool to talk to me.
that was it. That was it.
But how much bigger mm-hmm. Wisconsin was than Oregon. Like,
yep.
They are just a bunch of big Midwestern dudes. Like, you looked at them, you're like, that team is enormous.
Yes. And you look at their schedule this year, they've got Ohio State at Ohio State. So that is a situation where you want big, tall, athletic dudes to go against one of the perennial powerhouses.
Like, the term big boy football is, in the literal sense, big boys playing football out there.
Yes.
And that is one thing that Mario Cristobal and his staff have done a tremendous job of doing, is building the big boy football roster.
Done a great job of it.
Are the Knicks really the best thing going in New York sports right now? AJ and Dusty on The Fan and the Odyssey app. The New Orleans Pelicans melted down in the final seconds of their game in the Mecca, as they call it, Madison Square Garden. Lonzo Ball up two was covering, I forget who was in the corner, and Derrick Rose drove the lane, and Lonzo Ball decided to leave his man in the corner to collapse down, up three against Derrick Rose. Kick out, corner three, boom, game over.
Well.
Yep. Stan Van Gundy was about to have an aneurysm over it. But after the game and the loss, Zion Williamson had made quite the headline. Oh, you're going to need to pod me up there, bro.
Hey, Zion, I know it's a different experience now, but what was it like to finally get to play in the Garden in the pros?
I'm glad you asked that, actually. I mean, New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you. I can't lie to you.
Whoa! Yeah, I love the outside of New Orleans. This is my favorite place to play. Uh-huh. Like, he had an ass-eating grin on his face the entire time. I mean, it was ear to ear. I'm glad you asked that.
Yep.
Do you remember leading up to the lottery?
I was just pulling up that video. When Zion, when the Pelicans won the lottery, and Zion's reaction was like, great.
Everybody was convinced he was gone to New York, baby. Yep. Wah, wah, wah. And that was perfect. To me, that was a perfect response because he obviously wants to be a Knick. And New Orleans is a mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
Front office is a mess. David Griffin trying to, you know, rehab his image after being ousted in Cleveland by LeBron, which everybody did was ousted in Cleveland by LeBron. But he's down in New Orleans and they've tried. But look, the Knicks might be the best thing going in New York sports right now. They've won 6 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They are 6th in the Eastern Conference standings, which expectations, like Blazer fans are, everything's horrible. Knicks fans are like, yeah, baby. You've got the Nets, who are 2nd in the East, but Kevin Durant got hurt again.
Yep.
And then the Yankees are in dead last.
They were just swept by the Rays.
Dead last.
Yes. Over the weekend.
And let's not even talk about the Jets and the Giants.
That's true.
It might be number one New York Knicks, and James Dolan still owns that place. Number two might be the Mets. The Knicks and the Mets might be running New York right now.
I actually think you put the Liberty after the Knicks. Sabrina Ionescu making her return debut. She's going to play in New York for the first time.
Man,
I think it's the Liberty.
Let me just real quick put some brakes on your Zion to New York talk.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Here's Downer Darkins. What do you got?
So, how old is Zion? What is he, 20?
Something like that.
He's about 20 now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Something like that.
Okay, 20 years old, and he goes to a very struggling franchise. He gets drafted number one overall. He goes to a place where he is by far and away the center of attention, the person to focus on, the person who the offense needs to run through, the person who is the center of attention at all times, not on, in terms of playing on the court, but also in terms of promotion, media, everything. You are now going to go to New York, where that's not going to be the case. And as much as we'd like to sit here and talk about how awesome Zion Williamson is, Zion Williamson is not yet an elite player. He's an incredibly good player. And he's going to go to a place with RJ Barrett where there are going to be conflicting interests between what the offense needs to look like and how it needs to function. He's also going to be second fiddle in a place where the Yankees will always be number one. The Yankees will always be number one in New York.
When the
every
Knicks
single
are,
friggin'
when,
time.
When the Knicks are good...
Oh, when
it's
was that?
In the 90s. It's been the 90s.
And the Knicks are good.
The 90s?
We went to the, what? They made it to the, was it the Eastern Conference semis or did they make it to the Eastern Conference finals?
They made it to the finals, bro.
Eastern Conference finals?
Bro?
No. I'm talking the Eastern Conference finals when.
What, Ewing and Starks, all those guys?
No. After that, in the 2000s.
Yeah, dude, that was
continue,
the finals.
Continue making your point.
Well, that was the finals. They played the Spurs, and that was 99.
Okay,
anyway.
No, I'm not talking about that time.
So.
Continue
this
with your
really
point.
Fun.
What, this is what I'm trying to say. If I'm Zion Williamson, I'm not so sure I want to go to New York at this point because you're in a smaller market that is paying a lot of attention to you and trying everything they can to try to help you at this point. And I relate this locally back to LaMarcus Aldridge, who, once he finally left Portland and went to the Spurs, it was found out that he said, you know what? I didn't really have it all that bad back there. And that's not to say that the Spurs are a much bigger market than Portland, but they were a bigger fish in the water because they had won a bunch of NBA titles.
So if I'm Zion, I'm kind of looking at New York and I'm saying, I don't know if that's the best situation for me.
Eastern Conference semis in 2013.
I disagree vehemently.
I do too. Because in New York is a place that he wants to be. I understand what you're saying, but New York is a place he wants to be.
Slash.
And New Orleans was not a place he wanted to be. It was a place he had to be. You remember seeing that on the lottery day.
Oh, yeah.
And it is not going well there. And that's the other thing, too, is that, like, LaMarcus Aldridge was like, grass is always greener. It's not that way in New Orleans right now. Now, the Pelicans have, by the way, they have his rights for a while. Like, they've got, like,
yeah, when he's a restricted free agent.
And so, and they will match whatever just to make sure he stays there at all costs. So you're looking at, this is going to be like, you know, 2024, 25 when he actually leaves. So they've got that amount of time to turn it around. But you better see some big time turnarounds, because he's already smiling. I'm glad you asked that question. And all bubbly when looking at New York.
But I do think that's a good point that you have about right now. He's a good player, not an elite player. So while Zion may not have wanted to start his career in the Pelicans, that could be the reason that in 2, 3, 4 years when he goes to New York, he ends up thriving, because he's made his mistakes. He's gotten his feet wet. He's started understanding the pace of the NBA in a small market where the expectation is super low because the franchise is a mess. Now he's a 5-6 year veteran and the Knicks are ready to build around him.
Mm-hmm. Plus you're out of the New York eye. Exactly. You know, honest, RJ Barrett had a go of it his rookie season. And it wasn't only until, like, I think 2/3 of the way into this season where he actually, like, started to turn it on, and now everybody's talking about RJ Barrett.
Right. Nope. So I think it's a great thing for his career, but I do agree that had he gone there first, we could have seen his career not take the leap that it so can, I think. Bad. Yeah.
It would have been bad because they were a disaster. Like, they were they were a rudderless ship.
Yes.
And it actually seems like they're pointing things in the right direction right now. And it's like, with the Yankees being terrible, the Jets and the Giants are terrible right now. The Brooklyn Nets are falling apart, and nobody in New York has still fully grasped and gravitated towards the Brooklyn Nets because they're still the New Jersey Nets in everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't even get me started on playing in New Jersey and calling yourself a New York team.
Ooh, let's get you started on this.
No, it is bad.
Does it have to do with the Chargers?
No. It actually doesn't.
I just wanted to throw that in.
I know you did. You're just poking. Rude.
So what's your problem with it?
I just think is you shouldn't do it. Like, be named after where you are. Mm-hmm. Don't play in New Jersey and call yourself New York. That's a lie.
Well,
I feel very strongly about this.
It kind of just doesn't sound as good when you say, like, the New Jersey. Actually, New Jersey Jets does sound better.
Yeah. Not my problem. Don't lie to the world.
All right. That's AJ on lying about where your team actually is.
I'm just saying.
All right. Knicks, hot stuff.
Liberty, next best thing in New York.
Wait, so you think they're number two, not number three?
Who is
Knicks one, Mets two. Let's go, Mets go. They're number two.
Sure.
Yeah, they're top the NL East.
Only because Sabrina hasn't played yet.
There you go.
Somebody on the text line pointing out New Yorkers don't care just as long as whoever's on top.
Well, yeah, that's the point about the Knicks that I was making, is that, like, dude, when the Knicks are good, watch out.
Yep.
You are a king of New York. Now, if you suck, you suck, and they'll let you know how bad you suck. And they'll be the first, like, and the best part is, like, they'll be the ones, fair weather fans. And they're just like, wait, hold on. You're calling your team a bunch of bums. Well, we're just being true about it. All right. That's actually fair. All right. The explanation that just doesn't make any sense. Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.